Yes, we'll be away for 3 weeks, so not only pray for us as we travel, but pray for the family that they'll cope with us. Now, we're dealing with Paul, and it's amazing, some of his prayers. He prayed and he preached, and we need to take notice of both. That's the next song. Right. One of the things that Paul prayed for in our very first sermon in this series was for unity. So I'm going to give out some jigsaw pieces, and I want you to come out here, please, and make up this jigsaw onto this board. So I'll put the board here. Pardon me, and I'll just give out some pieces. They're big. So it doesn't depend on your age. You can work out, yep. Don't put your head down, you'll get one. Don't try and hide. Don't try and hide. Doesn't do any good. Doesn't do any good. No. So as soon as you've got a piece, you can come out the front and you can start putting it together, please. Right, see how we go. Whoops, you right there?
Thank you for giving me an end one.
There's an intelligence test in this. I'm evaluating people. He's a clever person. He just sits back and then he's got the last piece. Yeah. Thank you. Now, it just happens to be a jigsaw with David and Goliath. Over here, is little David. Over here is big Goliath. David, Goliath, and there's someone with a banner there saying, "Come on, Davey." So this is what Paul was praying for. In our very first sermon, what did he pray for? Unity. The complete picture of the church. Right? So when we're all here operating together in harmony, how wonderful. If, however, we take out one piece, or someone's out of sorts with everyone else, or upset, the picture is not complete. And that's what Paul was saying as well. The picture is not complete if you're not in relationship, or I'm not in relationship with other people in the church. So, in a way, I see this jigsaw, in my thinking anyhow, as what Paul is praying for in that very first sermon that we had, for a unity of purpose. There is one baptism, one faith, one Lord, one. And what did he say we are able to do or should be doing? Eager to work to maintain the unity. That's the prayer. That's our job. God has the unity. We are working eagerly to maintain it. I love the fact that David is very small, and Goliath is very big. Maybe that's how we feel in prayer. But we know what happened with David, victorious against that power. There are lots of illustrations I find in that simple, supposedly kid's jigsaw. Prayer. Today we move on. And so if you've got your little leaflet, and we've already had a wonderful reminder from the children's talk, but here we are, grounded and established through prayer. The spirit of unity and harmony, that's what I've said was the first week we looked, and then we've had the last 3 weeks after that. So what does Paul say? And we're in chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father. I bow my knees before the Father. I'm not sure that Paul was physically able to do that. I mean, if he was chained in prison, he's not going to be necessarily able to bow down. But his attitude of heart was certainly a bowing down. And he bowed down before the Heavenly Father. That's our attitude of prayer, a kneeling before God in humility. How amazing. Friends, Freud said years ago, people needed an other heavenly something. So they made up the concept of a father. We have the revelation of the Father here in Scripture. We don't need to make up anything. Whatever your dad may have been, that's one thing. But this is our Father in heaven. This is the living God whom we are worshipping. And I bow my knees, he said, I fall down on my knees and I pray to God. And what do I pray? Well, I pray some incredible things. First of all, if we read back, we realise that he's saying in verse 10 that here at Lighthouse, we have this in verse 10 of that same chapter. To make all men see what is the plan hidden for ages in God, that through the church, the wisdom of God might be made known to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Isn't this amazing? This is why Paul is asking us to pray. To show all the powers of heaven how perfectly wise God is when they see his family, us, in that time Jews and Gentiles, but when they see those two groups working together under the lordship of Jesus, then what will they do? They will glorify God in heaven. Can we comprehend? Can I comprehend? Can any of us comprehend that God is saying, here, because of the prayers and the worship and the lives of the people of Lighthouse, that we are having an effect on the powers of heaven, the principalities and powers. Friends, prayer is not to get my way. Prayer is to show the glory of God. And we need to grasp that. Praying is to show the glory of God. Paul, I guess, wanted to get out of prison. But in prison, what did he do? He showed the glory of God. And prison people became believers. How incredible. God's eternal plan. This isn't just made up at the last minute. This is God's eternal plan, that through the prayers of his people, heaven and earth will be changed. Oh, incredible. Incredible. So the question is, why do I pray for people? How do I pray for people? And what will I pray? Well, yes, I will pray that your sore leg will get better, and I will pray that your family issues will work out. But Paul says, oh, open your mind, friends. Open your head. Think, if you're changing heaven and earth, pray big. And that's what he's going to do. And we will be quick. We won't be here till midnight. But we'll move through this. My prayer for you, he says, are these sorts of things. Strength, the indwelling of the Spirit, that you'll be strengthened and grounded, that you'll understand, that you'll know, and that you'll be filled. Whew. This is how Paul wants us to pray for each other. Yep, as I've said, family issues, yep, sore toe, yep. But then there's a bigness. When Paul fell on his knees or stayed chained, whatever he did, he prayed for the strength of those other Christians, that they would be strengthened beyond, almost beyond strength, and that they would live to God's glory. So let's have a quick look at some of these things. Those of you who've got notes, you can follow along. The first thing he prays for is for strength, an inward strength. And isn't that true, that when we have an inward strength, then we're able to cope with some of the outward issues? The inward strength gives us the outward issues. I love the way that J.B. Phillips has put, I'm praying that you will have the strength of the Spirit's inner reinforcement. I brought along this bit of reinforcing rod. Just to remind us, and I'll use it in two spots, but just to remind us, if any of you have done some building, you might have poured concrete and then as you put in one pouring of concrete, the workmen have often put some of these steel reinforcing rods in, or they may have used a stronger mesh than this, but that's all I had, a much stronger reinforcement mesh, and they put that in. I just think this is a wonderful reminder to us when J.B. Phillips put the reinforcement of the Spirit. It's as if I've already part of God's family, as it were, I've got the concrete or I'm strong. But it's as if God has then, through his Spirit, has put the reinforcement rod of steel or the mesh of steel to reinforce my faith. Isn't that great? And that's, friends, the first thing that Paul says I want you to pray for. Praying for each other that God will reinforce you with the steel, if you like, or the reinforcement of his Holy Spirit. How wonderful. How wonderful. Secondly, of course, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We know that. And I've put up on your sheet some different bits and pieces of references. All believers have the Holy Spirit. But he is saying, I want you, as well as having the Holy Spirit, to be reassured of that indwelling of his Spirit. Now, some people say, oh, you know, I need to be baptized in the Spirit, or I need to be filled. Yes, we do. We do need to be filled. We need to constantly be filled with his Spirit. But he's saying, I want you to know that you've got the Holy Spirit. So, friends, when you've become a Christian, the Spirit of God has come into your life. That's what God tells us. So here we are reminded. And there are some beautiful references here that we're sealed, we have access to the Father, and all of these other things that we've got there, which remind us that the Spirit is a person, not something to be bossed around. But if I go back, he's saying, I want the Spirit to be at home in your life. Now, I don't know if you've got any lovely old Italian friends, but sometimes in houses, when some of our Italian friends have bought a lovely lounge suite, they have it in the lounge room and they leave the plastic on it. And so if you're a guest, well, you go into the family room. But it's as if the plastic, or maybe you don't have to be from another country, maybe you know some people who have their good furniture covered. And yes, you don't always feel so comfortable just sitting on the plastic or sitting on the cover. But what Paul's saying, make the Spirit at home in your life. He's not just visiting. He's there permanently as part of your life. I am praying, he says, that the Spirit will be part of your inner being, that the Spirit will be able to make his home in your life, to feel comfy in your life. No longer strangers, not just a fly-in visit and a fly-out, but that the Spirit of God is comfy in you, living and dwelling in you. So Paul is praying, I want you to be reinforced. I want the Spirit to be at home in your life. What else do I want? Well, we've seen some great pictures of trees and roots. And so my poor little fern looks very weak in comparison. But we all know that for anything to live, it needs a root of some sort. So we have not only the roots going down, and those of you who are gardeners know that you don't sort of pull this out every couple of weeks to see, oh, is it growing? Is it not growing? Is it growing? Is it not growing? Now, we know it's growing because of the way it works in producing either fronds for this fern, or fruit, or flowers, or whatever. And the same with a Christian. We know that a Christian has got their roots into the soil of God's love because of the way they are. They're producing, they're growing, they're changing, they're developing. It's as if, though, we have two things. We have this going along with this. So we have the agricultural and the architectural, if you like. We have the strong foundation And we have the roots going deep into the soil of God's love. So that's what Paul's praying for us, that you'll be going down into God's love and you'll have a great foundation that our faith will be based on. And that foundation is going to be reinforced with that steel. What a powerful prayer. Imagine if Paul was praying for us. Wouldn't we feel, oh, wonderful? Well, Jesus is. Jesus is. He is interceding for us in heaven. How incredible is that, that the Creator is interceding. So we need deep roots and firm foundations. That's what he's asking for us. The next thing, he wants us to comprehend, if we can, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. Isn't it interesting that that's corporate? That together we might know that. Now, certainly we know certain things separately. We do. But together, isn't that why we have study groups? Isn't it why we go to church? Isn't it why we share something of what God's doing in our lives? So that together we comprehend the dimensions of God's love. Up, out, down, every direction. And we share it and we understand it. Last night we were at a mission meeting. A guy, Muslim, converted. And we've just heard some of his story. Persecuted, changed. Wife's now divorced him from overseas. A whole change of things. And he says, Jesus is my Lord. And it's done fantastic things for that church. Friends, how wonderful. Together, a celebration of what God has done and doing. So, may we comprehend it. So, we know it, the next thing. We know the love of Christ. How can something surpass knowledge? It's one of those things, we know what we don't know and we don't know what we do know and all of that stuff. But what he's saying is, I want you to understand something that is only God-given. It surpasses knowledge. It's beyond human understanding. And it's only for believers. And I'm praying that you will have an understanding of the love of God which is beyond, pardon me, beyond human understanding. How wonderful is that? How wonderful is the love of God that it blows our mind because it's beyond our human understanding. But Paul is praying, I hope that you understand it. And how wonderful if we can. And then that we will be filled. Filled, friends, with what? Well, filled with the knowledge of God and all of these wonderful things, but that we'll be filled up. Now, when we become Christians, it's as if God pours into our lives the Holy Spirit and we are full. He doesn't give half measures. The Holy Spirit is a person and we don't only get an arm and a leg, we get the whole of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit fills us. Wonderful. And the instruction from Ephesians is to keep on going, being filled with God's abundance, controlled by the Spirit. That's our responsibility. But I think there's another responsibility, and that's on God. And I think that he fills us with his Spirit, great, and our responsibility is to keep being filled. But I think it's as if God, as we grow, fills us as well. You know, like coming up so that we're growing and developing with our feet firm on the foundation and the roots grow as we grow as well. So it's almost as if with the Spirit of God. And Paul is saying, I want you to be filled with God's abundance. Oh, how wonderful. I want these things to happen, he says. And then he finishes with the most incredible little benediction. Well, not little, it's enormous benediction. Because he says, right at the end of that chapter. Now to him who by the power at work within us, this isn't magical for someone else. This is for us, the church, for us, the individual. Now the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Makes our prayer life look a bit paltry, doesn't it? A bit weak. It makes us think, maybe I just need to check through some of these points again. So I'd like you to take your sheet home and just have a look through and just say, God, maybe I need to bring my prayer life up from a B to an A or even to an A+. But to take into account what God is able to do. God is not able, he's not inactive or dead. He's able to do more than we ask because he hears and answers prayer. He's able to do what we ask or think because he reads our thoughts. He knows what we really want in our hearts. He's able to do more beyond our understanding and comprehension. Much more, much more. I've got there a super superlative. He's able to do far more abundantly. More upon more upon more is superabundance. In Greek, it's super, super, duper, beyond anything that we could ever comprehend. So maybe we need to expand our praying in all sorts of angles, and we also need to allow our mind to expand what God could do, because he's able to do a lot more than we limit him in doing. Friends, people that we're praying for, people we know, they would never become a Christian. Actually, God is able to do far more than we can ever think or hope. So maybe in his eternal plan, they will, if we're faithful in our praying. So let's take that little section of chapter 3 of Ephesians seriously, and let's ask God to do far more abundantly than we're able to think or hope or pray, and let God have his free will. Let's pray. Our Father, when we say, I'll pray for you, maybe we need to think a bit beyond what we've been thinking. And maybe when we bow in prayer, in an attitude of humility and of acceptance of your will, Father, we just want to ask that you would, as it were, blow us away with what you want us to do and expand our mind and our thinking, that we might be people who trust you, who pray faithfully. And Lord, these prayers of Paul's are not there just written in a book, but they're there for us to read and to apply. So help us not to play games and be stupid and pretend that we're Christians and wonderful. Help us to take seriously these thoughts, to pray intelligently and powerfully, and expect you, Father, to do far more than we ever comprehend. We ask these things and we pray that you would be given the glory and that heaven and earth would be shaken because of the prayers of your people. We ask through Jesus. Amen.